Listen now as I read the text for this morning for Randy's sermon from Psalm 51, 1 to 10. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Randy.
Let's begin with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be together in this place of worship. Thank you for the Holy Scriptures and that you are a living God that speaks in a living way to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2008, my family was invited to go to Ethiopia for a wedding. And it was the wedding of Claire Good's daughter, Esther, and Johannes Werkil. Got to know Johannes because he was an LMH student, and he was at our house on the weekends because we hosted him. And through 2 years of that, we got to know Johannes' family in Ethiopia, and they invited our whole family to the wedding. So we went. And it was a big party. They know how to celebrate. There was a lot of joy at that wedding. One interesting thing about how they do invitations is that the people that you invite, they invite their friends. So there's about 800 people there. And I asked Johannes and Esther, how many people do you know here? And he said, maybe half. It's pretty special. Very communal culture. Even the way they eat together, the injera, which is your bread, and then you have your plate full of meats and veggies, and you're all sitting together and you look each other in the face as you're eating together in a circle. Even the way they do coffee, it's a whole coffee ceremony of making the coffee and the preparing the beans perfectly. And it's about the relationships, really more than drinking the coffee, and it could be hours drinking coffee together. In our fast-paced, busy world, it's maybe a little bit hard to imagine that, but it was a pretty cool thing to experience for 2 weeks in Addis Ababa. Our bishop, Rodney Martin, and four or five other bishops from Lancaster Conference actually were just recently in Addis Ababa at the Mesonite de Christos Church, where the church is just absolutely exploding there. Up to potentially 800,000 believers. It's the largest Anabaptist community in the world. And it started from some mission work in Eastern Mennonite missions in the 1950s. And so my sermon this morning kind of comes from some things that I have found just incredibly powerful about the church and Mesonite Christos, partly from being there in 2008 and then just kind of staying curious about the church, and then some things that I've heard Rodney talk about as he came back and shared with us. So I have some pictures and some stories later on in the sermon. But one of the things I hope we can really hear this morning, entitled Learnings from the Messianic Christos Church, is that maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago when mission workers went over, that wasn't the emphasis. The emphasis was we need to teach them. And I intentionally put the word here, we need to learn from them. They, in many ways, I believe, are embodying the Anabaptist story better than the Western Church is right now, right here in Pennsylvania. And there is so much to learn. So I hope we can come in with that spirit this morning of learning about the church and specifically about how they embody joy in forgiveness. Joy, finding joy in forgiveness. That is a theme in our lectionary text this morning. Joy in forgiveness. In our lectionary psalm, it certainly comes through, and we did it in our call to worship, and Janet read it for us. And the gospel text in the book of Luke from the lectionary also had that theme, which we'll talk a little bit about. The gospel text of being about the lost coin and the one sheep that was lost and is now found. The stories in that gospel text are not about reprimanding or being upset about how they ever got lost. The judgment or the critical words for how they ever went off their own separate way and now they need to come back. That's not the emphasis in these parables that Jesus gives. The emphasis is on the joy of the Father, the joy of the shepherd. For the lost has been found. In the coming back, in the turning towards forgiveness, there is absolute joy. It's a reframe from how we often think about the need for confession or forgiveness as a solemn, very stoic thing. Rather, this seems more like a celebration. And in our psalm this morning, we see the words of joy and celebration as well. So what is the context of what's going on here in Psalms? The context is that this is written by David, and he is seeking forgiveness for some terrible, unimaginable things that he has committed. An affair with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. David is on his knees in this psalm, crying out to God, seeking the face of God, in confession and forgiveness. Ralph Jacobson, who is professor at Luther Seminary, states this, in the context of Psalm 51, it's to be interpreted as a text that facilitates reconciliation, which is the forgiveness, and joyful reunion between a sinner, sinners, and God. David knows his sin. He is aware of it, verse 3. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence, and blameless when you pass judgment. David has an awareness. How does that awareness come to David? Well, we know in David's case, part of the awareness was through the prophet Nathan, who proclaimed this to him through a parable and the condemnation words, "You are the man," in this parable. So David needed some help from the community to become aware of his sin. But there's many other ways too. I mean, I think he probably felt a tremendous sense of wrongdoing, just that moral sense of committing a wrong in the sight of God. The awareness of sin can come through many different ways. And David is aware. And this plea for forgiveness, it's important to note, is very much based on an awareness of the character of God. That David comes before God in confession, knowing who God is. And we read that later on in these verses. Have mercy on me, O God. And now here we see some of the character of God. according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. We see a picture of who God is in David's confessions. The very character of God we see throughout the Old Testament. For example, in Exodus 34, which reads, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. I have to imagine, as David is writing this psalm, he's thinking of those words from Exodus in the back of his mind. It's this awareness of who God is and the very character of God, which we are told is merciful and gracious and slow to anger, that allows David to come in that spirit of confession, knowing the steadfast love and abundant mercy of God. And this spirit of an awareness and this giving this confession to God, then we see the shift and the movement into joy and gladness. Verse 8, let me hear joy and let me hear gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. God's mercy not only forgives and cleanses, but it brings, we read here, joy and gladness. Repentance, as we often think, like during Ash Wednesday, just a strong emphasis on confession, it's often a very somber experience. Even the thing about like the ashes, which is just such a powerful an awareness of our sin. And yet, what a beautiful thing that we can also see the gladness of reconciliation, the celebration of new life within the forgiveness. Going back to Luke and the gospel stories that Jesus shares, Jesus is sharing parables to show us pictures of what the kingdom of God is like. And stories help us to see a picture of the kingdom. And Jesus tells this story to tell us that part of a picture of the kingdom is the lost being found and that there is celebration in that. In Luke, the women to her friends and neighbors, she says, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. And Jesus then declares in Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 7, there would be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And again, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We can see how these stories bring repentance and they bring joy. Not one or the other, but both. The reason I think I'm drawn to this theme of joy in forgiveness and how we see it in these texts so powerfully is because I think when we frame it within joy, it allows us to share forgiveness outwardly and to receive it from God in a much better spirit. It doesn't seem very enticing to want to forgive others if there's not any sense of joy in it. And that's where I'm drawn to the church in the Mesorita Christos church. So I just wanted to share a couple stories of how I see them embodying this. So if you want to put the pictures up here, here we go. So this is Addis Ababa. That's the capital. And a lot of the Mesorita Christos church, like some of the main headquarters are in Addis, but then they've spread all out over Ethiopia. The church is just really, really expanding incredibly fast. And this is the head office. And I got to visit there in 2008. And I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it looks like it's, like a warehouse kind of. And this is where the church is exploding, central headquarters right here. It kind of reframes when we think about needing a really fancy building to show how the church is alive. And we can learn some things here from the Messerete Christos Church. Here's some people. So a huge part of how the church is growing so fast it can't keep up with training leaders. But they do have, two seminaries that I got to visit one of them in 2008. And, these are some of the students, and they had just received, I think, new Bibles for part of their, learning. So you can see there, it looks like they have the NIV translation there. And this is the construction. They build as the monies come in. So the hope for when the whole school is completed is going to look like that, but I think they only have like certain very small parts of that completed at this point. But they're trying to train the leaders, so that they can have leaders for all these churches. It's pretty amazing. So where am we seeing these themes of, I'm going to come back to that one. These themes of joy within forgiveness. Well, some history is really pretty important here to understand. I studied history at Goshen College. I don't know. I never really appreciated history as much as until I got to college, but man, we can learn a lot from history. And learning about the history of the Messerete Christos Church is so important, because if you study their history, you will find out that from 1974 to 1987, the communist government took over, which is called the DERG, Provisional Military Government of the Socialist Ethiopia, Communist Military Junta that ruled Ethiopia. And when that came in, the church had to go completely underground. They had to go into hiding. Certain leaders from the Messerete Christos Church were actually taken. And my understanding is a few of them were actually taken into kidnapping. I don't think any of them were killed, but some of them were taken away for a period of time. They certainly experienced some persecution. But the church grew exponentially during this time of the communist takeover when they had to go underground. And I was thinking about how does a church actually grow when they have to go underground? And it would be so easy, it seems, to want to fight back or to want to use violence. And they didn't do that. The church is so rooted in the love of Christ and forgiveness that not only did they not fight back, but they said, we're going to go underground and we're going to keep spreading the gospel, even if the government does not allow us to do it. It's hard for us to imagine that here in the U.S., what it would be like to be persecuted and to go underground. But that's the history of the Messerete Christos. That's in their DNA of how they, in the midst of that persecution, chose to forgive and love and to keep sharing the gospel. Another powerful way where I see the church practicing joy in forgiveness. The prison ministry of the Messerete Christos Church is exploding. Their prison ministry began in 1993 when prisoners at the HEMA read MKC's magazine, which was called The Witness, and wrote to the church for help. Today, MKC's prison ministry works in 40 of the nation's 125 prisons, and the ministry follows a very holistic approach, in that they're not only trying to share the gospel, but they're trying to look at the whole person. A lot of these prisoners have come out of tremendous violence, which they call revenge killings. So they were in prison for revenge killings that they committed terrible crimes. But they're trying to take this holistic approach in their prison ministry to showing the love of Christ and the power of forgiveness. And so the government is actually inviting Messerete Christos Church leaders to come into the prison because they're saying, your message of love and forgiveness and reconciliation is what we need in this culture of revenge killing. That power of forgiveness rooted in the forgiveness, first and foremost, of God in Christ Jesus, spreading out in the prison ministries. Another place where we see it is recently Christians in southern Ethiopia have been experiencing persecution from local extremist Muslim attacks. On February 9th of this year, there was 10 church buildings that were destroyed. So here's an example of a church building that was destroyed. And it's important to note that this is not the majority of Muslims. Most are peace-loving, very moderate. It's just a small extreme wing that's very radical and committing, destroying church buildings. But again, how will the church respond? And there's documented story after story of how the Messerete Christos Church is responding in love, responding in forgiveness. That is so close to who they are. When we hear these stories of what it looks like to show forgiveness in the midst of revenge, when we see these stories of what it means to show forgiveness when your church building is destroyed, we have opportunities to grow. We have opportunities to learn about how they do this, about how they have the faith or with the, what's deep within them that's so grounded in Jesus that allows them to do this. We have an invitation this morning to keep growing and learning. I'm especially amazed of, I love what you said, Janet, this morning, of all the different ways that we can think about joy in forgiveness. It's not just that the joy allows us to spread this out and to forgive others, but it's the joy that we receive when we realize that we are also forgiven. That we also, first and foremost, have been forgiven. And just like King David, in this psalm, crying out, I love verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Bring the joy back to me, O God. That's what I hear. I mean, people, someone that has committed a sin like that, think about the tremendous amount of guilt and shame to live with. And this is saying, not only forgive me, Lord, but renew me. Take away that shame and guilt that we all feel and put a new and right spirit within me, because the Spirit of God, I don't think, is here to make us feel shame and guilt in our sins. And that's too often what we are, just bogged down by our sin. This is such a beautiful reframe to not only forgive my sins, Lord, but bring joy back. Put your new and right spirit within me. So may we experience that joy in forgiveness this morning, Whitmer Heights. May we continue to grow and may we continue to learn together. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your character. The character that we see in Exodus, in Psalms, in the parables, in Luke. A God of everlasting love and forgiveness. Not only forgiving, but creating something new within us. And I thank you for these stories from the Messerete Christos Church of love and forgiveness that looks outward, that is transforming and renewing. God, I pray through these texts and through these stories and through your Holy Spirit, may we, each of us, grow this morning. May each of us experience a new and right spirit. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.